This weekend, I mean, won't it? Just the thing, bit of rest. When you're feeling a bit off colour, eh? It's exactly what the quack told the wife's brother. When was it now?
Afterwards, Morse thought he remembered concluding this telephone conversation in a seemly manner, with appropriate concern expressed for Strange's convalescent brother-in-law. Thought he remembered passing a hand once more over a forehead that now felt very wet and very, very cold, and then taking two or three hugely deep breaths, and then starting to rush for the bathroom. It was Mrs. Green, the charlady who came in on Tuesday and Saturday mornings, who rang 999 immediately and demanded an ambulance. She had found her employer sitting with his back to the wall in the entrance hall, conscious, seemingly sober, and passably presentable, except for the deep maroon stains down the front of his deck chair pyjamas, stains that in both colour and texture served vividly to remind her of the dregs in the bottom of a coffee percolator. And she knew exactly what they meant, because that thoughtlessly cruel doctor had made it quite plain, 5 years ago now it had been, that if only she'd called him immediately, Mr. Green might still... "Yes, that's right," she heard herself say, surprisingly, imperiously, in command. "Just on the southern side of the Banbury Road roundabout. Yes, I'll be looking out for you." At 10:15 a.m. that same morning, an only semi-reluctant Morse condescended to be helped into the back of the ambulance, where, bedroom-slippered and with an itchy grey blanket draped around a clean pair of pyjamas, he sat defensively opposite a middle-aged, uniformed woman who appeared to have taken his refusal to lie down on the stretcher bed as a personal affront, and who now sullenly and silently pushed a white enamel kidney bowl into his lap as he vomited copiously and noisily once more, while the ambulance climbed Headley Way, turned left into the grounds of the John Radcliffe Hospital complex, and finally stopped outside the Accident, Casualty and Emergency Department. As he lay supine on a hospital trolley now, it occurred to Morse that he might already have died some half a dozen times without anyone recording his departure. But he was always an impatient soul, most particularly in hotels when awaiting his breakfast. And it might not have been quite so long as he imagined before a white-coated ancillary worker led him in leisurely fashion through a questionnaire that ranged from the names of his next of kin, in Morse's case now non-existent, to his denominational preferences. Equally, alas, now non-existent. Yet once through these initiation rites, once, as it were, he had joined the club and signed the entry forms, Morse found himself the object of considerably increased attention. Dutifully, from somewhere, a young nurse appeared, flipped a watch from her stiffly laundered lapel with her left hand, and took his pulse with her right, proceeded to take his blood pressure after tightening the black swaddling bands around his upper arm, with, for Morse, quite needless ferocity, and then committing her findings to a chart headed Morse E, with such nonchalance as to suggest that only the most dramatic of irregularities could ever give occasion for anxiety. The same nurse finally turned her attention to matters of temperature, and Morse found himself feeling somewhat idiotic as he lay with the thermometer sticking up from his mouth, before its being extracted, its calibrations consulted, its readings, apparently unsatisfactory, it being forcefully shaken thrice as though for a few backhand flicks in a ping-pong match, and then being replaced with all its earlier awkwardness just underneath his tongue. "I'm going to survive," ventured Morse as the nurse added her further findings to the data on his chart. "You've got a temperature," replied the uncommunicative teenager.
"I thought everybody had got a temperature," muttered Morse.
For the moment, however, the nurse had turned her back on him to consider the latest casualty. A youth, his legs caked with mud, and most of the rest of him encased in a red and black striped rugby jersey, had just been wheeled in, a ghastly-looking cyclopean slit across his forehead. Yet to Morse he appeared wholly at his ease, as the same ancillary worker quizzed him comprehensively about his life history, his religion, his relatives. And when, equally at his ease, the same nurse put him through his paces with stethoscope, watch and thermometer, Morse could do little but envy the familiarity that was effected forthwith between the young lad and the equally young lass.